wonderful to have all of you come here, and I know that some are coming as guests because of Memorial Day weekend, so good to have you, and others are coming back from school. You know, this weekend we honor those who sacrificed their lives for our nation. That's what Memorial Day weekend is about. Hopefully you can do that. Do your shopping, do your barbecuing. But remember, there are those who gave and some who gave it all so that our nation can be free, so that we can come and worship freely in a place like this. I wonder sometimes, though, whether we honor God the way he deserves as well. He deserves. And you say, how do you do that? Do you know? How do you do that? Now, Memorial Day, we fly our flags, and those who lost somebody, we visit them in the cemetery sometime, just, you know, a memory. That's how we honor people. We remember the things that they have done, who they are. In fact, we have a prayer garden in the back, if you don't know, some of you know. We have little plaques on the bottom. There are names there. Each family has donated a kind of a brick to remember their loved ones. In fact, in June, you know about it, I believe it's June 18th on a Saturday, we're going to have what we call a pew dedication here in our church. A lot of families in our church, as we built this sanctuary, dedicated a particular fund to honor somebody in their family, and we are going to do that as a ceremony on that day. That's how you honor people. That's how you honor situations. But how do you honor God? You know, in a day and age where our society through tumultuous times, you know, we're not really sure what's right and wrong anymore. There's all kinds of mores out there. You know, every once in a while, a city council or a state will pass laws telling us what is right, what is wrong, and then the Supreme Court will strike it down or uphold it, or the politician. We are going through a time like that. I want to tell you, if you want to honor the Lord, he made it very clear to the people of Israel in this passage what they need to do. And it deals with his thoughts. It deals with his mores. It deals with the things that are important to him. If we want to honor God, we need to think about that. So today, I want to share just three thoughts in this passage that I found. Only God's people honor the Lord. If they did that, the first thing they need to do is to protect the things of God, the thoughts of God. Let me share with you what it means. The passage says, you know, we have to put it in our heart. We have to just apply, well, you got the Ten Commandments, but it's not only Ten Commandments. There's all kinds of thoughts and mores of God, the priorities of God. We have to protect them. How do you do that? How do you do that? You know, every day you listen to the news, perhaps, and somebody tells you this is right, this is wrong. I know in our society today, and particularly in Texas and Houston, we fought this, and we struggled with this last year, you know, this whole transgender bathroom things, right? Whatever you're thinking about it, next thing you know, we're dealing with this. We're told that everything we believed in is not, it's not right, and everything that we thought were wrong, well, that's right. You know, what are we supposed to do about that? How do we think that? And that's just one of many things that our society is struggling through right now. But we're going to honor God. We want to ask what he's thinking about. What does he say? And he makes it clear in the Word of God. And so one of the things that we have to do, first of all, is to protect it. Protect it. Protect our heart. Instead of letting our hearts go here and there and every which way. I remember when Bob and I first came here, I guess it would be about 8 years ago. I think that was when Ike hit, right? The last hurricane that hit here. And it happens to be the first year that we moved here. And you have to understand, we had hurricanes in New York too, but you don't call that hurricane. It's a little bit of windy, you know, situation. But a hurricane here, so people are getting ready to protect their houses. I know that a lot of stores are boarding up things. I've never done that in my life. But I remember going outside of my house, you know, first we prayed it through and asked God to protect it, but you know, we went and started taking things, you know, putting things away, buttoning down, whatever is the phrase there, to get ready for this hurricane. And when it hit, it scared us half to death. We never faced that before. The windows are buckling out, the pressure, I guess, and we lost power. You know, you remember that, those of you that live through here. When you protect something, this is what you do. You try to keep things inside that should be inside, and you want to keep things outside that should be outside, right? If there's a flood, you know, I know some brothers and sisters here, you encounter that this past flooding. You want to keep the water out. You want to keep the wind out. You don't want those things to come on in. And the things you want inside, you don't want them just fly out. You know, you don't keep the door open and let everything fly out. You protect it. That's what you do. Now, how do you do that with God's mores? How do you do that with the Word of God? And what do you do with the things that God tells you? I wonder how often we really protect those things. Or do we just let them fly out the window? You know, that mattered then, it doesn't matter anymore. I'll tell you, when I was young, one of the first things I did, and it's really helpful, is I memorize scriptures. You memorize it, you know. It's not just in my mind, it's in my heart. You know, I memorize it, memorize it, memorize it. And I can quote you so many passages in the Bible that I've memorized when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. Some of them before I even became a Christian. Afterwards, I memorized a lot more. I remember having a little book, you know, Jesus People Promise book. I remember that. I had that book in my hand. I carried it. It was like ragged, you know, because I used it so often. Because I memorized it. I protected God's word. It was going to be in my heart. And when I encounter a certain situation, I would bring that up. I just recite it. Are you protecting the word of God? Are you protecting the things of God in your life? And it's sad, really, if we ask people, you know, can you quote the Ten Commandments? I'm not sure too many people can. You know, it's almost a standard joke. I remember just really interviewing pastors, getting ready for ordination, and very few of them can. They'll give me 7 or 8, and the sad thing is sometimes they'll give an extra one that's not in there. Usually is this one. God helps those who help themselves. That's usually the one they give. It's really funny, but it's not part of the Ten Commandments. How do we protect that? You and I have to figure out a way to protect the things of God, the ways of God, the Word of God, the principles of God, the mores of God. We have to protect that, or else we will not honor God, because we're living a Christian life that is not the way God designed it to be. But the world is attacking it. And if you don't treat it like literally like this, put your heart in a safe, well, it's not going to be protected. It's going to be shattered. It's going to be stolen. How many churches today whose whole way of doing things and beliefs has nothing to do with the Word of God, nothing to do with God, because they have been stolen. The heart has been stolen. It's not there anymore. Second thing I want to share with you, this is really important. I believe, and I believe this has really damaged us. I think the United States, you know, for a long, long time have been so, you know, we just believed in the Word of God. We believed in things like Sunday school, you know. We put our children to these things. We have VBS. We have all those things. We wanted to impress upon our next generation the things of God. Are we doing that today? With so many millennials, we call it, and the next generation, what is called the homelanders, they're not going to church anymore. More than half of them have no interest at all in church. Is it because of us? Is it because of the boomers, those of us who are in the boomer age? Is it because we have not impressed upon our children the ways of God? I remember I spoke in a school many years ago. I was a spiritual emphasis speaker at a Christian school in Quito, Ecuador. They brought me down there. I spoke for 10 days to the student body, about 600, 700 students there, upwards of high school age. And one particular message, I was dealing with some kind of, you know, issues of abortion and stuff like that. And afterward, I had this little girl come up, and she could not have been more than maybe 12 years old. She was just crying, bawling, because she was so broken for the little children that were being killed in the wombs of the mothers. She was so broken. I couldn't console her. Hearing that, hearing the stuff there, it impacted upon her life. It impressed upon her the values of the Almighty God. The war in Ukraine 2 weeks ago. And I spoke at a Baptist church there that we partnered with, Barbara Sang there and so forth. And they had a special program there too, because they were doing the foster homes in which we were a part of, helping out. There was a guy there that was in the foster home or the whole system, orphanage system, for 15 years. And he was, you know, in the process of trying to develop foster homes for the children there that are, you know, broken and needy. And so he had this particular video of these children, or this child particularly, you know, was well done. And as he was doing it, he was singing a song. It was in Russian. We didn't really know what it meant. But it was very, very kind of, you know, Russian songs, very kind of on the minor keys, you know. It brings your emotion down, I got to tell you. And so Barbara is sitting next to, and we're on the front row, she was sitting next to a little girl, maybe 7 years old, and she was just bawling. Her eyes were just like tearing up, just crying like there's no tomorrow. She cares so much about these poor kids out there living on the streets, you know, the homeless kids. She cares so much. I want you to know something. You can impress values into your children. You can. And that's what the Word of God wants us to do. It says, did you hear that? You know, write it in your doorpost. Talk about it all the time, on and on and on. We as parents, we have a responsibility to impress upon our children the values of God. We got to let them know what's important, what's valuable, what is so, so serious in the minds of God. A lot of times we don't. We don't care. Hey, watch some television for this and that, you know. We don't sit down and talk to them about this and that, how important it is. And worse, sometimes we model it terribly. You don't want to struggle today, you know, for all Christians in America. It's just going to church. Just going to church. You know, I give you those terrible statistics of 32,500 people are leaving the church every single day. I tell you, 7,000 churches are closing every year. You know, I give you all these terrible statistics. Because people don't even want to go to church. Christians don't even go. They don't even think it matters to go to church. So you as a parent, yeah, you know, rough day, I'm busy this week. You know, I need to go in. You do those kind of things, and your children, 5 years old, 7 years old, 12 years old, 13 years old, they're watching you, they're modeling after you. So my parents don't care. Why know what I care? How in the world are we going to impress upon God? I mean, impress upon our children the ways of God. You know, the Bible says, you know, honor your father and mother. They need to do that. It says about respecting the Sabbath. Wow, my parents don't do that. That's just one of many things that I can bring out here. But we need to impress upon our children, because I wanted you to know something. Your children are very impressible until they're not. This is the truth. Our children think of God usually the way they think about us as fathers. You know, they see us. They see who we are. It's very easy for them. God must be like that. Especially when they're little. I shared with you before how my thought about God was. And it took a long time to change. It really did. My father was a wonderful man, you know. He was a father that was kind of out there. He doesn't seem to care about me. There's reasons that are legitimate. He was sick for 7 years, you know, when I was little. He couldn't care about me too much. And he tried to find a job. So he went and moved to Kowloon. I was in Chengzhou. So I didn't see him, you know, about once a month maybe. And then when we came to America, as immigrants, you work like all immigrants, 4 a.m. to 1 a.m. So I didn't see him much. So my impression of my father was that he didn't really care about me. You know, he's just kind of do whatever you want to do. So when I became a Christian, that is one of the struggles I had. The struggle I had was that God was like that. You know, I need to just move on with my life. You know, I didn't need to trust God or depend upon Him, because I never had to do that with my father. You see, the way you are, it's going to impress upon your children. And how do you honor the Lord? Put a great impression upon your children. Allow them to understand that God is an awesome God. That he's also a righteous God. That he has glories and decrees and stuff that are good for us. Do things to impress upon your children and your grandchildren. Especially in the years that you can. But certainly all the time. Do they see you praying together? As husband and wife? How do they see you treat your wife? They're going to learn how to treat their future wives or their girlfriend, whoever. You know, your daughter. I love it. I love it that, you know, some of the things you need to do before they go on a first date, maybe you as a dad take her out and impress upon her what a boyfriend ought to be doing. How respectful they ought to be. Things like that you need to impress upon your children and your family. That's what it's talking about here. A need to impress. The third is a need to obey. I know that sounds like it's all covering all, but let me explain to you what it is. Later on, as we read the passage at the end, God goes at it again. He said, when I bring you to these places where you will flourish, and frankly, you didn't really earn that. Don't you forget. Don't you forget where you came from. That you were slaves in Egypt. I think that's one of the big struggles of the United States today. After World War II, we went into a prosperity stage, you know, a situation. After which we won the war, the economy was booming, the boomers were there, right? We went through it. We just, every generation, were better off than the other one. We got to a place where we just thought that's the way it ought to be. We've forgotten about the Depression. Who will remember the Depression? We've forgotten about the ways that they struggle. We certainly forgot about the, you know, going out west and cover wagons. We don't know all those kind of things. And many of us are immigrants anyway. But we forgot. We forgot the blessings of the living God upon our lives, upon our nation. And we ceased to obey. God said, don't do that. Don't do that. One of the things I see a lot, only because we work with so many immigrants like that, is when they come to the United States, things begin to change. They forget. Evgeny was a friend of mine. He was a youth pastor in Rostov in Russia. He came to the United States because he had an opportunity to, and he wanted, you know, make some money, raise some funds to help his church. He was having a big youth group in his house, meeting at the time, and he kept sending money back, you know, to his wife. But after a little while, he forgot, you know, he just forgot. He got caught up in the American dream and the lifestyle. You know, he was making $100 a day, which is unbelievable. You know, you get $100 back then, it was $100 a month. One day salary equal a month salary for him. And he lived in this little garage in Brooklyn. The garage was actually divided up into little rooms. This is really interesting. His room only fit a bed. He can literally get in bed, put his shoes out, close the door, and there's no more other room. And there's multiple people there. That's how they rented it out. He paid like about $200 a month to live there, whatever it is to say. He saved almost every bit of money. He was sending it home to his wife. He said, this is for the church. And then he told me, he says, you know, in a few months, I'm going to go back home. Well, guess what? He never went back home. He got so used to making $3,000 a month that he couldn't make in Russia. He kept making it and making it and making it. Long story short, I met his wife, his pastor, etc., etc. They said, and he begged me to convince him to come back home. I tried, he wouldn't. And she divorced him. Took his children, said, you're never going to come home. You love money more than God and certainly more than us. Unfortunately, that happens a lot. I remember when I was in the Philippines, I was ministering in a youth conference, And I was in General Santos City, and there I saw thousands of kids, you know, high school kids, college kids. They were so excited for the Lord. Here's a poor, third poor country. And there they are. I remember they asked, Pastor, we want to pray with you. Would you come out? I went out to the field, and there they were, almost 100, 150 kids just holding hands. And they said, come stand in the middle of us. We want to pray for you tonight when you preach. And they did. I mean, that's the passion there. It was unbelievable. But I want to tell you what happens. Sometimes, you know, we bring people over, these pastors, assistant pastors. I had multiple of them in New York. And after a little while, they forget. They forget what it was when God blessed them. They began to take all these things, you know, they're living a good life now, and they forget to obey the decrees of God. So that's why God warned them. He knew what they would do. He knew that as they got into their lives and they flourished and their families did well, their jobs were good, positions were well, the houses were big and on and on and on, they're going to forget about God. And they're going to dishonor God. And when that happens, that nation will begin to decline, that family will begin to decline, that person will begin to decline, and they did. You follow the history of Israel. You follow them, and you know, it seems like they're so fast. It's not. Hundreds of years it takes. The United States, we're only barely 200 years old. We've done it. We followed God, and then we flourished, and we did all those things, and now we're moving away. How fast can we be moving away from the ways of God? My goodness, the things that we're talking about today, we wouldn't even consider, not a thought in our mind 20 years ago. Who can think about those kind of things? Who can think about those kind of mores? Who can think about those laws that are being passed out there and enforced upon us? With the support of many Christians. I'm not here to do politics. I'm not here to do legislation. Not at all. But I want to encourage you to understand that if we're going to honor our God, we're going to need to obey the things that he tells us to do. I'm excited at what God would do, because you know why? Every time a nation, every time a community goes into a place, kind of like where we headed, people begin to pray. We begin to be desperate. When we see our children doing what they do, you know, when we see our friends and the society, we begin to pray. And when we do, God sends revival. That happened in the early 70s. It's happened on and on, a little bit here, a little bit there. But boy, oh boy, I'm excited, because I am looking forward to a great revival that's going to hit our nation. When we begin to turn back to God, begin to honor him, begin to follow him. We see our children, our grandchildren, begin to get on their knees and say, I love Jesus. I want to worship him. I can't wait. Pray with me. Gracious Lord, I want to come before you and I want to thank you for what you have done in and through CBC. Come through the revivals that you have brought. Lord God, we are your church and we stay committed to you, your ways. No matter how strong the storms are raging out there, we know that you are God and we will honor you. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.